The Kingdom of Nod. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now, here's Art.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. We're going to a place that few would venture to go here in a few moments, and I'm going to give you, from last night's program, whiplash. But I've got a few announcements I want to repeat at this hour. And they are, one, I rarely make a movie recommendations. I am not Siskel, nor am I Ebert, but I want you to see a movie called The Trigger Effect. It's called The Trigger Effect. Get your guide and look it up. It's on Stars 2 later today, this morning actually. Not too many people get Stars 2, I guess, but it'll be on HBO on the 20th. Or, no doubt, you can go rent it or somehow glom onto it. It's called The Trigger Effect. And if you want an incredible study of what would happen to the human race, the human being, if something went wrong, any little thing, like suddenly losing power, you know, lights, television, radio, computers, power, electricity. You want to know what would happen? You go watch The Trigger Effect. It is a phenomenal movie. I'm getting a lot of agreement on that from those that have seen it. So there is my movie recommendation. My wife taped it yesterday, and we watched it after the program yesterday morning. And man, oh man, oh man, what a movie. Now, our climate would appear to be changing. The New York Times, 127.98, a brand new story. If climate changes, it may change quickly. Past warnings or coolings occurred, warmings rather, or coolings occurred in decades or much less. From the New York Times, in the debate over global warming, there has been a widespread assumption that if humans are changing the Earth's climate, the effects will be felt gradually and smoothly, making it much easier to adapt to the change. But a growing accumulation of geological evidence is making it ever clearer that in the past, the climate has undergone drastic changes in temperature and rainfall patterns in the space of a human lifetime, in fact, a decade or even less. Now, many experts believe that late in the next century, concentrations of gas will double their pre-industrial levels. Should that happen, mainstream scientists say the average surface temperature of the globe will rise by 2 to 6 degrees Fahrenheit compared with a rise of 5 to 9 degrees since the depths of the last ice age, to give you some idea of the scale of the rise. A scientist don't know for sure, of course, but the question gives them pause. A Dr. Wallace S. Brocker of Columbia University's Lamont Doughty Earth Observatory said, "The climate system is an angry beast, and we are poking it with sticks." He said, "We don't know whether it's going to pay attention to the pokes, but if it does, it might rise up and do something we are not going to like." Now, I say this as the forecast for the Oregon coast earlier today, and I presume that still holds, is for somewhere between 70 and 90 mile an hour winds. I talked to Bob Crane in Northern California a little while ago, and he said the winds were howling up there. Definitely a concern when you have rising directly above you 100-foot redwood trees, which tend to come down in these kinds of winds. The East Coast is getting clobbered. The West Coast, if you've looked at the weather forecast and maps through the weekend, it is absolutely horrendous. Horrendous. I have told you now for the last 2 years that I believe the climate is changing, and I think the evidence is now here. Last hour, we spent talking with Peter Davenport. 60 more sperm whales have beached themselves in Tasmania. These are not little whales. These are sperm whales. These are up to 30-ton giants that just decided they'd do away with themselves and beach themselves in Tasmania. We have a couple of photographs on the website right now that are total blowaways. Peter Davenport brought them to us. And they show U.S. military Black Hawk helicopters dumping whales at 150 miles out to sea. 150 miles out to sea. These are whales the military kept for up to 13 months. They beached themselves. The military collected them up, did something with them for 13 months, straightened out their tails. They were bent. The tails were bent like crop circle wheat. The military kept them for 13 months and then utilized Black Hawk helicopters to take them out two at a time, like Noah, and dump them into the ocean 150 miles out at sea. And we've got photographs. You go take a look at the helicopters yourself. You'll see a whale actually getting midair coming out of a Black Hawk helicopter. It's the damnedest thing you ever saw. The way you see that is go to my website at www.artbell.com. Scroll down to where you see the name Peter Davenport as a guest and click on that. You'll see the photographs. And as he said, you better go up there and sit and ruminate about what you see a little bit and wonder why our military would do such a thing. Now, now, last night we had a very, very serious program on the subject of abduction. We had Dr. Roger Lear and Daryl Sims, and they brought with them pictorial evidence of implantation of human beings with what has to be alien technology. The electron scanning microscope photographs are up there for you all to see. You just go take a look at them. Be my guest. It was a staggeringly important program with regard to the abduction syndrome. And this morning, we're going to present yet another program that has to do with the abduction syndrome, but not quite the same material. Here from Southern California is an abduction victim. Now, I'm not sure it's fair to call her a victim. She is Pamela, and we'll call her only Pamela, abduction victim. I heard a gurgle. Was that you, Pamela?
Yes, it was.
You gurgled.
I should have told you to call me an experiencer instead.
An experiencer?
Yes.
You wouldn't describe yourself, Pamela, as a victim?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
When did your experience begin? How at what sort of early age were you first?
My first conscious contact is about 5 years ago. However, it's interesting that you would have Roger Lear and Daryl Sims on last night because I was practically jumping out of bed. I listened all night, so if I'm a little tired, it's because of you, because I work all day and listen to you all night.
Then you listened to that show intently last night.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I met Daryl Sims at a workshop. And it was just recently after I had had my first conscious contact, and I went to his workshop, and it was the first time that I had ever heard of scoop marks. And I realized that I had two marks on the front of my leg since I was a child, and I literally couldn't believe that, because at the time when I had found them when I was young, there was no scar. It was just all of a sudden there were two holes in the front of my leg. They're about the size of a watch battery, and they're about an inch and a half apart from one another. And I remember after the workshop going up to Daryl and saying, "Daryl, does this look like scoop marks to you?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yeah." He said, "Welcome."
Did he really?
Yeah. And I remember...
Now, was there any abduction experience that you recall to go along with this? Or
not
was
that
it,
I recall.
No, so the scoop marks came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere when I was young. And, of course, when you're young, you go, what's that? You know, I don't remember.
Well, not that young. I mean, this is 5 years ago, right?
No. 5 years ago is when I had my first conscious contact.
Okay, now that makes sense. All right, so the scoop marks were at about what age?
I was around 8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Mm-hmm. And I remember them showing up at different times, and I.
So like, this was before puberty, then.
Oh yeah, and I'm starting to make some connections. I lost a job actually from going public about 6 months ago, and from going public with my experiences.
What kind of going public?
Well, I don't mind saying that I've done your radio show before, and
yeah, but that was
Strange Universe a year ago. But Strange Universe has been replaying the segment, and they were hardly generous. They took sound bites out of context, as known to do. But that's not a problem, because I took the 6 months off, and I actually finished the proposal to a book that I'm writing. And
so you got canned for what you said.
Oh yeah, and I'm not the only one.
That is so unfair, Pamela.
It's almost a new little form of prejudice that we have on our hands.
It is a new form of prejudice.
Yeah, and it's just the unknown. People are afraid.
Pamela, I keep hearing gurgles. Are you in a bubble bath?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my computer. I have my aquarium on.
You have an aquarium program.
I have an aquarium.
Fish going across your.
Let's see. Maybe I can disengage that. Sorry about that.
That's quite right. I pictured you sitting there in a bubble bath or something.
You know, I wish, with a glass of champagne.
Yeah, that's right. Well, all right. So you actually you know what?
What?
You could sue somebody over that. I mean, just because you tell a story about an abduction.
You know,
albeit I know yours is a very strange story.
Yeah, it is.
But nevertheless.
Well, I know. I thought of getting Peter Gersten involved, and I thought, you know, do I want to walk down that road? I take so much hits and ridicule about this as it is. I mean, you know, you become aware of something that's so incredibly profound, and you want to share it with the world because you feel that it's important, and you literally have to keep your mouth shut with both hands. In almost everything you do in your life, and it's very challenging because I really believe it's something that I think disclosure is imminent and that we can't really get this information out fast enough to prepare ourselves.
Well, I understand why you are discriminated against. However, it is against the law.
It is indeed.
And you just you no matter how wild your story, you cannot be canned for having related an experience that you had.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm not the only one. I have a very good girlfriend who is an incredible script supervisor and told the story to the wrong person, and the next day it was like flying like wildfire, and she was canned.
How did Strange Universe get onto you?
I believe they had contacted John Rhodes about using some of his drawings. And one of the drawings was the one that I described of my reptilian entity to Kassara, so they had to call me to get permission.
Uh-huh.
And then the producer started asking me questions. In fact, I have the whole transcript of my Strange Universe interview. I made a point to get it before I wrote my book, because what they edited, it will clearly show that it was kind of like a 60 minutes deception tape where they really make it look like you're an idiot and sensationalize everything you're saying without using the substance of what you're saying.
Well, now, let us at least be fair. You've got to admit that your story, you know, even told straight, is absolutely sensational.
It is, but you know, the thing is, Art, and since I had this experience and went public with it, I can't tell you how many letters and emails I've received from people having the same experience. Well, you know, the night that I was on.
I do. I mean,
that's one of the
call after call after call of people. I mean,
you wouldn't have believed the mail that I got, and plus the fact that when I started researching, I realized there are a lot of other abductees who quietly mentioned this in a part of their book. You have to understand that sex is so repressed in our society. So you put sex in any context, it's taboo, minus the fact that it's with an interdimensional being,
reptilian.
But
here's the thing. Sex is an integral part of the whole abduction phenomenon. Now, people, because it's sex, they don't talk about it a lot, of course.
Exactly.
But let's face it, facts, folks, the facts are that that an awful lot of the abduction syndrome describes intense interest in human reproduction.
Absolutely.
It actually, many times, women who tell the whole story tell of children that have been the product of a relationship with one of them.
Absolutely. Well, I told you my first conscious contact was waking up aboard a spacecraft and seeing my four hybrid daughters calling me mommy. And I nearly lost it. I had never experienced anything like that. And it changed my whole life.
Can you describe your daughters? I mean, what? Now,
yeah, I can.
Now, your relationship was with a reptilian creature.
Right, but the daughters that I saw were half gray and half human. Now, I had gray experiences for about 2 years before I had a reptilian experience.
But most people, Pamela, describe the grays as asexual. That they are actually perhaps crosses between biological things and machines, androids.
Possibly cloned entities.
Yeah.
Well, and I believe that is the case. The thing is, I don't know that there's any intercourse that takes place. The men abductees that I know have described machines being placed on their genitalia and having the semen pumped out. Women describe having, I know myself, having things inserted in you.
Yes.
Maybe like an insemination type procedure of some kind.
Yes.
And so it's not really physically sexual like the reptilian interaction is. I don't believe the reptilian interaction is necessarily to create another species. However, I really don't know. I always have more questions.
Well, actually, there's a question. Do you suppose that the reptilian-human interaction and your reptilian consort, that it's sexual in the same way that it's sexual between a man and a woman?
You know, I've had...
Sex for the sake of sex.
I think it's very possible. I mean, I've seen the reptilians described as sort of a warrior class, sort of as, you know, like sort of what our soldiers would do if they walked into a foreign land. They
macho.
The women and the liquor, you know.
That's, the women and the liquor. Yep, that's
and,
it.
And I don't really know. I know that so much has happened to me since I talked to you the last time. I had an incredible regression with a wonderful woman. I don't know if you're familiar with Barbara Lamb.
Barbara Lamb.
She's a hypnotic regressionist. And she was doing a video on the abduction phenomenon. And I'll call it that because most people don't resonate with contact experiences or whatever. But she asked me if she could regress me on video. And I told her that I had this unusual feeling of communion with the reptilian species. And if we could address that issue, that I would be more than happy to spend my evening being regressed.
Now, a lot of people, the first time you were on, probably doubted or scoffed at your story. I mean, sexual relationship with a lizard, for heaven's sakes.
I had a lot of letters that ridiculed me, but I will suggest those that ridicule and use profane language to use spell check, because inevitably they were the ones that I could barely read. The people that notified me that had real experiences were the most eloquent and articulate and sensitive and compassionate people, and so many people thanked me that I literally had tears in my eyes reading some of the letters. And I've helped a lot of people process these experiences because I've come into a place of being able to control them within the interaction.
You, of course, have to understand that it's very difficult for the average person, not another experiencer, or not somebody who's born again and you know, wants you unborn or something.
And
the average person out there to grasp the fact that there is an ongoing, I heard your aquarium.
I'm sorry.
There is an ongoing relationship between human, earth women, and reptilian beings.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I understand that it's probably the ultimate insult for men. And I remember men being very upset by the things I said. And believe me, I love men.
Well, the only part of what you said that tended to upset men was when you said that actually reptilian sex was better than human male sex.
Well, I'm not sure I put it quite that way.
Well, it ended, like I said,
it was very different. It was.
Well,
it was.
No, you
was
did put it that way. Pamela, hold on. We're at the bottom of the
sure.
hour.
Her hair is hollow gold. The lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis
Kingdom of Nye. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now, here again is Art.
Once again, here I am. Good morning. It is great to be here. My guest is Pamela. Pamela had a sexual relationship with a lizard guy. And that's really unfair because actually they are known as reptilians. Scales and all. And we'll get back to Pamela in a moment. Back now to Pamela. And I think we left off at the point, Pamela, where really, I mean, if you're really being honest, Pamela, you've got to admit that you did make a rather definitive statement.
You can call me on that if you want.
That reptilian sex was better than human sex.
Well, I can only tell you that it was like something I had never, ever experienced. And it was very tantric. It was
very what?
Tantric. It was a skilled performance, let's say. And not only that, there was an emotional connection that I felt that was so profound.
So this was not just your basic...
No. It was aggressive, but then so am I.
Right.
So,
oh, by the way, the last time you were on, we did not have a drawing of your reptilian friend.
Right.
Now, tonight we do. We have long memories and files.
Well, I still get emails from that, and unfortunately, people don't have access to my first interview, so they just call me completely ridiculous.
Well, I know. They need to hear the story, and they're going to, but what I'm saying to everybody is up on my website now is a picture of your reptilian friend.
Right. Now, and I can tell you that it's not exact, because I only described it for a quick 15 minutes to Kassara, but it's very close. There are some differences, and I hope to have a better drawing in my book. So just
you're writing a book.
Doesn't look like that's not a picture. You know, it's like no, it's not a picture. I didn't have my camera. Okay.
Okay.
And no cameras work on an interdimensional level. Sorry.
In other words, you wouldn't have taken a picture of him anyway.
No.
What was his name?
Well, I didn't really give the entity a name. I didn't hear a name. In fact, one of the things I'd really like to talk about was this regression, because I found it a very profound revelation for me. I did this regression with Barbara Lamb, and it was a three-hour regression. It was pretty phenomenal, because you never know when you're going in what's going to come out yourself, because your defenses are down. You're tapping into an unconscious realm that you don't have access to when you're conscious. And I had the experience of being a reptilian hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Well, that may account for your taste now.
Well, it's very possible that I was meeting myself or an aspect of me or someone that I knew from that time. I firmly believe in past lives, and I think it's very possible that we have been all of these species at one time or another, or at least a good number of them. And since metaphysics has taught me that there is no past, present, or future, we have access to these particular realities that we might have been a part of.
Can I ask a couple of questions about the photograph?
Sure.
Okay. It kind of looks like this reptilian guy is wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's more of a breastplate.
A breastplate?
I think. And like I say...
And then you can almost like see what looks like lungs or something.
Well, it's very human. And like I say, to the touch, it was very soft. It wasn't scaly. It was...
Yeah, but in the photograph, it shows definite green scales.
Yes. Well, like I say, the entity that I saw, and who knows how much is screened, who knows what these entities really look like? Maybe all the grays are really reptilians.
But I would presume that when you described for the person who did this, very good drawing, it's a very good drawing, you know, it almost looks like a cobblestone road. I mean, the skin looks like a cobblestone road, you know, with indentations in between the scales. Now,
right, the entity reminded me of a tattooed being, tattooed with a snake type, you know.
When you touched that skin, did you feel the individual scales?
No,
or
I didn't.
So you're saying the whole thing felt smooth?
Well, have you ever held a snake?
Yeah, when I was real young.
All right, well, snakes' bodies are very soft.
Garden snake.
But they're very firm.
Yeah.
And that's the closest thing I can tell you that it felt like.
Okay.
And again, you know, men are visually oriented, so for men, this sort of thing would be completely out of the question.
Big turnoff.
It would be a turnoff.
A female version of this creature... would be nothing you'd want to tangle with in any way at all, much
exactly.
less sexual, that's for sure.
But for women, women, if you appeal to us on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, generally it doesn't really matter, you know, what the package is. We seem to move from a different place.
Yeah, but there's packages and packages, and this is not even remotely human.
Well, you would be very surprised how many letters I got from women who would long for something like this.
Like this.
Uh-huh.
And these are women who saw the photograph, Pamela?
I don't know. They heard the interview. And I think that they resonated with the fact that there was a very deep emotional...
Well, I was going to ask about that next. Yes. So how deep was the emotional connection between you and... He didn't have any name?
No, he didn't need a name. It's really a strange thing. It's like you don't relate on the same level that you do with a human being. It's almost as if you are really one with that being. I mean, the communication, the telepathic communication, was so loving and so.
Now I almost said beast. The creature has a mouth.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's kind of...
Like a beak mouth.
Well, it's actually more alligator-ish.
In fact,
you know what? I was in a pet shop, believe it or not, and I saw the bearded dragon, and all of them were at the side of the cage opening their mouths to me, and I jumped back because it was like... It was almost like a memory of some kind.
That wouldn't have been a sensual experience for you.
No, well, I was just shocked because it was a reminder. It was a trigger, the trigger effect, let's say.
Trigger effect, thank you.
It really, really triggered something in me. And like I say, it's called a bearded dragon, and it's a reptile, a small little reptile. And I have to do another drawing because the mouth was very, very different than that. But it was very human-like. I mean... You know, almost imagine a human being more so than a reptile. I mean, it's really hard to describe.
Okay. Well, you know, you said there was telepathic communication, and you said there was a deep emotional involvement. Now,
absolutely.
Now, was there...
The being said he knew me.
Was there, like, a courtship to this thing, or was it...
I don't think...
Was it more like being dragged off by your hair into a cave?
Well, I don't even think... A courtship type thing or a thought in that direction is even important because, like I say, I felt a connection as though we were connected maybe for eons, you know?
Boy, I'll tell you, if human guys only had that ability to impart that feeling to human women,
well,
there wouldn't
you know,
be near the trouble on this planet we have now.
Well, you know, I think that people that we do meet, we have resonated with and had experiences with. We're just not aware of them.
Instead of some stupid line like, you know, what sign are you or something, it's an immediate mental communication, and boom, there you are.
Yeah. Well, I think it really just comes down to respect because, you know, as many of your guests have said, there really are no secrets anymore, and we communicate with each other on a telepathic level anyway, and it's just a matter of how tuned in you are to yourself and to other beings. I mean, we're all so divine and so multidimensional that if we could only see that about one another and ourselves.
So then this it really wouldn't be wrong to say then that it was telepathic love at first sight.
Yeah, we could say that. Like I say, I believe that I was meeting an aspect of myself. I think I was being reminded because in my regression, one of the things that she asked me was why I had such a connection with this particular race. And I saw myself on a hill with my fellow warriors. I was a male reptilian in this life. And we knew that the end was near. We didn't know exactly what it was. We didn't have, you know, weapons. Our minds were our weapons. We were preparing ourselves mentally for our doom. And I remember looking at the other beings, and there was such a sense of love and knowing that we were going to perish. And a red cloud, I don't know if it was radiation or what, came over, and that was when I came out of the regression. But she asked me why I would be in touch with the reptilians in this lifetime.
So they,
and,
you know,
and the answer, wait a minute, you're going to love this.
Okay.
The answer was that the same thing is going to happen here on this planet. There is an end in sight. Maybe it's a precognitive, prophetic vision that I have, but that many of those warriors from that time that went through that are reincarnated now to experience it once again.
All right, well, you could almost look at him, based on the story you just told, and imagine them as reptilian barbarians.
Well, you could, except that in that life, they were very evolved. They were spiritual warriors.
Well, spiritual barbarians.
They were mental giants.
But they were also warriors, right? In other words,
well,
the Mars influence, they take what they want, right?
Well, this again is something we have to remember. We cannot blanket statement any extraterrestrial species because we can't blanket statement human beings. There are good ones, there are bad ones, and then when you take it out into the universe, into the cosmic realm, we're talking about from the past, from the future, evolved, unevolved.
But still, you're talking about
technologically, but not spiritually, and vice versa.
But still, you're talking about a warrior species, basically.
Well, that's what people say, but you have to understand that not everyone has that particular perception of it. I mean, there are as many varied stories as you can possibly imagine.
All right. How aggressive was your reptilian?
Well, it was very aggressive, and I believe that I was in a lot of fear because it was so shocking to me visually. But once there was a telepathic communication, I started to calm down, and I said to myself, you know, I've been through a year and a half of gray abductions that were so so shattering to me physically that this, obviously, I'm not going to die. That's the conclusion I came to from going through so many abduction experiences.
I'm looking at this guy, and I wouldn't conclude I wouldn't die if I had tangled with him.
Well, the thing is, like I say, I didn't get that sort of telepathic communication from the grays.
No.
It was cold, it was clinical, and the...
And so that was really more frightening than this.
Absolutely.
Because at least here you were getting some sort of... mental emotional connection.
Exactly. And I was having severe physical symptoms from some of the procedural stuff that was going on with the grays. So this was at least pleasurable. And I decided in the middle of the sex act to get out of fear. I mean, that's what I had been teaching myself for a year and a half anyway with these experiences. I have to stay out of fear. I've got to conquer that. Otherwise, I'm not centered enough to deal with it.
Now, how would these occur? I mean, would this creature come to you in your sleep, in your bed?
Well,
Would this creature take you up somewhere?
This is what is very hard to explain, because I think I mentioned on the show long ago that I'm a skilled astral projector. I've been doing it for 14 years, and I've been traveling out into those weird realms and had a lot of strange things happen. But I always knew that I was out of my body and that I could not be harmed physically.
Right.
Now, this time, and I also am a lucid dreamer.
Okay.
But this time, I woke up out of a sleep, and my very first experience with the reptilian was that I was making love to a gorgeous blonde man. And in the middle of the sex act, it turned into a reptilian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I said. And that's when
From blonde surfer to reptilian?
Yeah, but they shapeshift, and I don't know how many other species do as well. It's possible that the grays do as well. Maybe the grays are reptilians or can shapeshift into...
Oh, my God, then it's possible. No. Then you have to imagine it's possible that... women who are meeting men all over the planet actually are meeting shapeshifters.
You never know, Art. I think I know that the military has been cloning for a very, very long time.
I don't doubt that at all.
And I will tell you another incident, which I wasn't going to share, because it all sounds so outlandish that even I sit back and I go, how am I ever going to even tell my abduction support group about this? But I sing on the weekends. I'm a singer. And I had a gig in Pacific Palisades about 7 or 8 months ago. Mm. And it was an Asian wedding. And it was couples. Everyone was down in the yard. It was like a three-tiered backyard. And the band was set up at the top and with the bar. And all the guests were downstairs having dinner. Dinner had started, right?
Okay.
Two guys walk in, dressed in black with sunglasses on, after the sun went down.
Men in black.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, this couldn't possibly be real. And luckily, I had just seen the film, Men in Black, so I had a bit of a sense of humor about it.
Mm.
And my sound man came over to me and he said, Diva, well, that's my nickname. He said, Diva, look at those two guys over there, because he had heard your show and he knew what I was going through and knows me well. And he said, I swear to you, those are Men in Black. And I said, listen, JC, the minute I get off a stage, I want you to come with me and we're going to confront them, because they're either gay lovers at the wrong party or they're Men in Black.
So, as
soon as I got off stage, they were gone. And I said, look, I know that they were here. I said, let's go look for them. They must be in the house, because they're obviously not down eating. We would have seen them go by. We went out. I finally said, listen, let's ask the valets. We went to the valets, and the valets said, yeah, we saw these two weird guys. We thought maybe they were bodyguards, but there's no stars here.
Boy.
And I said, well, I think I know who they were. I said, what were they driving? And he said, a black Lexus.
Of course,
it ain't a Cadillac, but these are weird.
This is a horrid thing to contemplate, Pamela, but has it occurred to you that those men, obviously on to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously.
Obviously on to you, that these men may have snooped, peeped, recorded your encounter with... Mr. Reptile here. And
I tell you, Art, the research that I've been doing has been pretty heavy since I first became aware of this. And I know that many people that have had military abductions right after going public, and I've had a couple experiences that are actually almost too scary to talk about. And I know that it happens. I have a couple theories about it. I've been researching mind control and have found out some pretty startling things about, you know, the disposal program for the mind control victims who are implanted with extraterrestrial abduction experiences to cover covert operations they might have been involved in. And so many records are destroyed once they're disposed of. I mean, it's very possible that on one hand, they're muddying the waters of research for abduction, because they've already set the ridicule campaign for abduction in action. That was a planned scheme on their part to discredit all of us.
Well, you know, I really can't accept a couple of things that happened to me that are too scary to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try and pry that from you, of course.
Well, I'll tell you off the air.
No, on the air. No, tell me on the air. All right?
Well,
not now.
Right.
We're going into a break.
Maybe? Yeah, we'll bargain.
All right. Pamela and her former lover, the lizard guy, pictures on my website right now, www.artbell.com. We will be right back.
Is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye. Now, once again, here's Art Bell.
Now, once again, here I am. I just can't make my voice go that deep. It's not going to work. Well, I could have had Monica Lewinsky on this morning, but no. I've surpassed even that. I've got Pamela. Pamela was on the show. I'm going to say it was a year ago. It had to be a year ago. Pamela was abducted at a very early age. Not a victim, mind you, but a cooperative, consenting adult in a relationship with a lizard. Maybe a lizard is unfair, but he looks like a lizard. Definitely looks like a lizard, a big lizard with a t-shirt. We've got a picture of this creature that Pamela has at times cohabitated with. And it's on the website right now, as well as a photograph of Pamela herself. I mean, it's absolutely nothing short of remarkable. The whole story is remarkable. Here's somebody saying, Art, this is not your everyday woman. She seems to have a number of very special qualities. She definitely has special qualities. No question about that. And we'll get back to Pamela and her special qualities in a moment. Well, all right, originally, Pamela was, I think the word would be sexually molested by the Greys, would be accurate, and then she actually, I think it's fair to say she had an affair. Is that a fair word, Pamela?
Well, I don't know. I can't call these things by human terms anymore.
Well, let's
walked into a new paradigm.
Let's define an affair. It there would be sexual components to affair.
We had an interaction.
There would be an emotional component to an affair.
I suppose so.
And so in most senses of the word.
I know, but affairs sound like something married men have, you know.
Yeah, oh, that's true. that's true.
You know, let me just tell you one thing, and I think this is really important. A lot of the experiencers that I've been in contact with, and I've been in contact with an awful lot of them, really go through the same thing. Finally, we get to the other side of these experiences, understand them, become aware and process them, and become functional again in our lives. And I'll tell you, at the end of all this, there's only one species that really, truly scares me, and that's the one that I belong to. I've rarely seen such an angry mob mentality as when a new concept, a new idea, and perhaps a perception that we really need to consider if we're going to face the new millennium is put in their faces. They simply cannot adjust. And we've crucified our messengers throughout our history and suppressed truths that we need to get on with our lives and evolve. And I would just really like to tell your listeners to keep an open mind, because the people that come forward with these experiences, it takes a lot of courage to do so.
Of course it does. But you've got to admit that most women would have to have an extremely open mind.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The women that I've met are so incredibly evolved Now, I find that the men have a much harder time integrating these experiences, and I think it's because they are, when they're out of control, it's so frightening to them that they just can't handle the experience. And again, you have to look at this. Most people understand and accept and believe that the gray abductions are going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an accepted fact.
But as a man,
very
though.
Well respected. But the point is, you introduce a new species.
That's right.
And it, once again, all the new prejudices are out rearing their ugly heads.
Pamela, Earth women are supposed to be for Earth men.
Well, you know
that's
what?
That's where the problem is.
I don't think any of us are necessarily Earth beings. I think we are throughout eternity coming into new forms and new consciousnesses. Mm. And this is the expansion that I've become aware of, just in terms of being a paranormal explorer my whole life. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that I woke up to these experiences.
Right. In the middle of the first relationship you had with the lizard,
right,
he morphed himself.
Right.
First he was a handsome human.
Right.
And then halfway through the act, he became what we see here, roughly.
Right.
Now, why do you think that the lizard guy would think that you could handle that, particularly at a sensitive moment like
Well, the thing is, I had two other interactions with the reptilians after that. The first time was the only time that I was introduced to a human-like being before he shape-shifted. The other times he just showed up as
a reptilian. Yeah, but the question is why he revealed himself to you at that moment, why he thought you could mentally handle that.
I'm not sure. I really don't know for sure. Except possibly, like I say, I go back to my regression, where I was to be reminded of my connection to that species and the fact that I need that mental warriorship to do what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Because I've walked into a life that I'm now really compelled to share this information and get some answers
I know.
For myself and everyone else.
You would describe this creature as dominant.
Yeah, or aggressive, let's say.
Synonyms, I think. Dominant, aggressive.
Okay, well, I'm pretty dominant and aggressive as well. In fact, I noticed that the minute I became a participant and I became aggressive myself, the entity disappeared.
What?
Yeah.
You mean you even scared him away?
I don't know that I necessarily scared him. I think that the job had been done, and that was to basically bring me through fear and into an empowered position.
Oh, that's really weird. That's like staring down a bear in the forest.
Yeah, I've met many beasts face to face, and I think that I'm a more powerful person for it. And if the reason that we're here on this planet is to overcome fear, because it is such a synthetic thing, it's man-made. It's not our natural state. To be in fear.
You've got to understand, though, Pamela, that it's doubly hard, and I really mean this, it's doubly hard for the average man to understand that any Earth woman would prefer or even allow a totally different creature.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bizarre. And like I say, I think it's just a matter of getting over, once again, a prejudice.
Now, I remember the last program we did, a lot of the women called. A lot of women called. And they were really okay with this.
Well, I think
the guys who called were not.
Well, I think women are basically more intuitive, and I don't think I will get an argument from anyone on that. And I think that they sense something about me that is real, maybe that empowers them, that gives them just a little bit of an insight into something that is unknown, that they're not afraid to venture into and at least explore and talk about.
When Barbara regressed you, is that when she found out about the things that you said were just too scary to talk about?
No. Those were experiences that I had after going public.
All right. And after going public. That means after my last program?
Yeah. And Strange Universe and the whole nine.
So, in other words, anything that I would pry out of you now about these two things would be utterly new?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've done a lot of new things, but like I say, I don't want to just close everything because I'm also writing a book, and my co-author's in Hong Kong, and I didn't have a chance to call him and say, what could I talk about?
Believe me when I tell you that anything that you would say now...
No, it'll be between you and I, right?
No, we're on the radio. I'm being upfront with you here. You know you are.
No.
Anything that you would say now would just promote the book. Because, obviously, in the book, you would get all of the complete lurid details.
Well, you know, there's a chapter devoted to you and all the people that wrote to me.
There's a chapter devoted to me?
Oh, yes. It's called For Whom the Bell Tolls.
You're kidding.
No. Well, you know, I really do have to thank you because one of the reasons that I've been offered to do a lot of other magazines and radio shows and TV shows, and you know what? I've learned my lesson. If I am edited in any way whatsoever, I'm not doing it.
I know. I don't blame you for a second. I am very sensitive about who I will do an interview with because, you know, they come after me, Pamela. You've got to understand.
I know.
Even with some of the absolute righteous work that I do, I have a lot of people that hate my guts because of the kind of material that I air.
Sure. Well, and the thing is, we've got to have an allowance policy here if we're going to get any new answers in life, and it's real sad, really.
Well, look, just give us a little tease about these items that have occurred, things that have occurred to you since the last time we spoke.
All right, I'm going to share a couple of things. I've met a couple of women who went public years ago when it wasn't quite as safe to do so. I mean, you have to understand, I believe that the UFO cover-up is probably one of the most profound cover-ups that we will ever face. And I know why, because the ramifications of disclosure are so huge. We're talking religious, economic, political, you name it, everything's going to crumble. So as far as our shadow government, because I don't even think our government is aware of what's really going on, but as far as they're concerned, they have to do anything in their power to keep this quiet. And there have been a couple of women that I know, one in particular, and I'm not going to use any names because I don't want to divulge who they are, because I know that this one woman has been absolutely terrorized by the military. In fact, over a dozen of her neighbors have witnessed her being abducted by the military and interrogated. And I just want you to know that it's really going on.
Abducted by the military and interrogated about an experience she had?
That's right, because we're not supposed to be going public with this. You have no idea the harassment that abductees
have.
Oh, yes, I do.
And the same kind of experience you had?
Well, mine was similar. I really don't want to talk about it. I woke up one morning and I was completely aware that I had been interrogated.
You too? By the military?
But I only had sketchy memories of it. I was extremely drugged when I woke up. I had my whole face was swollen, my front tooth was chipped.
Oh my God. They beat you.
Huh?
They beat you.
I don't know. All I know is I felt like someone had beaten me up. I know I didn't think that I even left my apartment. I have no idea. But
so they probably got every detail. They probably got it all.
Well, I don't know. I imagine they must be curious to know either whether I'm a mind control victim, which I'm pretty sure I'm not. I mean, I didn't.
You've got to admit you wouldn't know. I mean,
I think I would. The thing is, I believe that it's all of the above. I don't think we can, you know, put all these things into a nice, neat little box.
Maybe not, but Pamela, it's impossible to believe for most people that you could have a physical relationship with this creature without being the victim of some kind of mind control.
I know. Well, that's what the mind control people say, but I really can't believe that is the case. I really believe it's all of the above.
As a matter of fact, a man out there, even me, might choose to believe that the reason you've said you prefer the lizard guy to human guys is because of mind control.
Well, the thing is, extraterrestrials, I'm sure, have much have as much power as the government to mind control. I mean, let's get real here. The mind control program has been ongoing since World War II. Over 800 German scientists were brought here after the war and filtered into the mind control program.
Mm-hmm.
And our tax dollars are paying for this.
MK Ultra.
That's one of 147, Art, that we don't know about.
147 programs?
Yes, that's what we know about.
Good Lord.
I mean, my mind control research has really scared me. And, of course, I talk about it on the phone. I know my phone's tapped.
You know it, who cares?
Yeah, well, the thing is, the things I talk about and my co-author, we do interviews on the phone. And, you know, I'm very verbal. I'm not holding anything back. And that's another reason why I would appeal to your audience to listen to these accounts that people are bringing forward, because we're sharing something with you that is really to our detriment to do so.
But yours is the wildest of them all.
Well, you know what? But I'm not the only one. I'm just the only one that will talk about it. I got letters from the Bible Belt from women who said, I can't thank you enough for coming forward.
I know. I remember on the last program, we had women crying on the air.
They say they're down there in the Bible Belt in a Christian community, and if they told their husband about their experience, they would be afraid that they would be divorced
and
exiled from the community.
Of course.
And I happen to not answer to anybody. Thank you.
So you don't have a husband to worry about divorcing you and casting you off?
No.
So I can understand why then you would come forward, but even at that,
You know, employment stuff and friends and the men that I've dated in the last couple years.
Do you tell them about it?
Well, I feel like I have to. It's part of my life, and they have a very hard time, and they don't stick around very long. You know,
just up and leave.
And that's okay.
Well, it's not really.
Well, but the point is, I need somebody as strong and truthful and centered and allowing as I am.
Do you watch their faces when you tell them?
Well, you know, it's just, I realize, and I'm not having a hard time with it. I don't feel rejected. I understand how difficult this might be to walk into. I mean, I'm not a passive woman without a mind.
Most guys could accept a woman with a history. No problem. A human history. But...
Well, I'm going to need a pretty incredible man. That's okay.
Have you yet met an Earth man comfortable with this?
Well, you know, oddly enough, I saw a video, because I scour for videos and whatever I can find on the topic, and I saw a guy who I believe is going to be in Linda Moulton Howe's book. His name is Jim Sparks, and I think he's from Florida. And on his tape, he said he had one interaction with the reptilians. Now, he's had a lot of great experiences.
Wait a minute. You mean guys are having interactions with lizard ladies?
Art, yes. I can't tell you how many people have had this experience. Credible, empowered people.
You didn't tell us this the last time.
No, well, I didn't know that that Jim Sparks was having, you know, interactions. But what he did was he asked these beings, he had 12 beings around him, and he said, I want to know, he's very bold, I can't wait to meet him, I hope to meet him one day. He said, I want to see what you really look like, who you really are, and all of a sudden they all shape-shifted into reptilians.
Oh,
and he's going to be in Linda's book.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. And I thought he was very empowered. And
Pamela, can you hold on?
I sure can.
We're at the bottom of the hour.
Cup of coffee.
All right.
First for the night.
That's it.
Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the Greys. The short little guys with the big black eyes from a galaxy far away. I've heard the horror stories, been digging in the dead of night. Laid out on the table like a Christmas turkey, afraid I'd die from fright. They can paralyze you with their eyes and levitate you out of bed. Pull you right up through the ceiling and start messing with your head. Now if they would just stop at that, I wouldn't mind too much. But I've heard they'll probe you up and down and you won't like where they touch. The witnesses say they're a humorless bunch. My dad, I'm quite surprised, cause they watch all the reruns of I Love Lucy and the best of Saturday Night Live. I don't want to be a live experiment by the children in a place unknown, cause they'll splice your genes and make grotesque things with my tadpole guys alone. Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the grace. Short little guys with the big black eyes from a galaxy far away. I've heard the horror stories being taken in the dead of night. Laid out on the table like a Christmas turkey, I'm afraid I'd die from fright. When Eisenhower signed the treaty, you never thought they'd stay. Maybe hang around long enough to mutilate some cattle and they'd be on their way. We built them underground bases and they're feeling right at home, like that dreamland in Nevada where the antelope and aliens roam. And Art Bell knows what's going on. They probably give him rides for free. For all we know, he's one of them. That's why he's on radio and not TV. Think about it. Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the Grays. The short little guys with the big black eyes from a gap.
Watching every motion in my foolish lover's game. All this endless ocean, finding lovers, no shame. Turning every turn into some secret place in time. Watching in slow motion as you turn around and say, take my breath away.
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
Yes, it is, and tonight's show is a test for J-Core. If they can handle this, they can handle anything, right? Probably just like you. Pamela, was it such an intense thing with him that it took your breath away?
What are you talking about? Which entity?
Oh, you know the one, the green one.
What do you mean? Was it what?
Did it take your breath away?
And then some.
And then some. All right, hold on, Pamela. We'll be right back to you. All right, Pamela, here's a question by fax, first of all. I mean, I got a million people want to talk to you, like always, but Art, ask Pamela. Please inquire of her at any of the amorous alien encounters. Was there a presentation of alien flowers, alien chocolates, or, most importantly, alien alcoholic beverages during, you know, during the courtship?
Only absolutely fresh insects. That was such a funny ad that guy wrote. I really want to hear that again one day.
Absolutely.
You know, there's one thing I would like to talk about.
Okay.
And that is the wonderful people that contacted me afterwards, after your last show. In fact, I think I remember telling you that I was about to press a CD, and I asked for, donations of a dollar.
I remember
Well, I only got $200, but I got hundreds of more letters, and I wasn't able to press a CD. But I took some of my own money when I lost the last job, and it was about the time of the Roswell 50th anniversary.
Boy, poor, bad timing.
So I pressed. No, it was great because I got to go. I went. And I had pressed up a couple cassette copies, and I sent one to the concert director at Roswell.
Should have sent one to me.
What?
Should have sent one to me.
You know what? I'm going to send you one, because I now have them for sale out of my purse, these cassettes. And the people that sent me a dollar, I have kept the money and the letters. I've written to most people back, but I haven't been able to get to everyone. And I just want to thank everyone. And the people, I have an address now because I'm actually selling them on a couple other radio stations.
Whoa.
And for people to write to me as well, because I want to include some accounts in my book. Anyone who wants to share anything, even anonymously.
It sounds like all the details, the lurid details, are going to be in the book.
Oh, yes, and then some.
Figures, yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll get it out without too many more military abductions.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, one of the reasons I'm even talking about this stuff is because if anything does happen, maybe a few people will ask questions, you know, because I'm not going to off myself. I'm not going to have a heart attack. I do yoga and, you know, bounce on my trampoline. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be an accident.
I know what you're saying. All right. You have an address you want to give out?
Yes. And
what is it?
It's M, as in Mary, MSM.
MSM.
And it's 171 Pier, P-I-E-R, Avenue.
Avenue.
Number 395.
395.
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica. Figures.
90405. And what I'll do for the people...
Oh, wait a minute. 90405.
And what I'll do for the people that sent me a dollar, if they send me their name and remind me that they sent me a dollar, I'll look it up and I'll send them a cassette. I've got 12 original songs, two of which
very
are about
generous.
My abduction experiences.
That's very generous, especially for a buck.
Well, but the thing is, the people that sent me the dollar, they can have the cassette for $8. That includes shipping and handling. Anyone else that wants it can get it for $15. Including shipping and handling. And I paid for all the mastering myself. The J cards are really high quality, and the songs are great. I've got a song called The Heart of the Gray Matter that it's so moving. One of the women in my support group came up and started crying. She says, I can't believe that song is so healing. And it talks about what it's like to be waiting for an experience to occur.
Did you write any songs about him?
Well, he's got a line in the song. It says, I start to pace, splash my face, and draw my shades. My eyes are getting heavy, and I sense how quickly a warrior's courage fades. And the line is, could be a dragon or a reptile or a man in black that moves in the shadow.
You know the creature on Star Trek that is reptilian-like?
Yes, I do.
What's
his name? As a
matter
of fact, I told you I have a new job over at...
No, don't give that out. Listen to me. What is his name?
I saw the mask today. I want to say Torque, but I don't think that's...
It's not Torque. It's like Gorf or...
Oh, God, I can't believe I don't know.
But, you know, actually on Star Trek, several times they have shown how... He courts a female of his own species, and it's one really rough love affair.
Well, some people like it rough.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, it's funny. I met the makeup artist, the one who does the aliens, and I'll tell you, Gene Roddenberry was tuned in, as they say. And
had to be, because look how long ago that was.
Yeah, he was an incredible man. As a matter of fact, you know, I sang for his last 5 birthday parties.
You're kidding.
No, my band... played, well, not my band, I was working with an agent at the time, but that man was so incredible. He introduced himself to every member of the band and sat there in front of us, applauded for the jazz solos. It was amazing.
All right, look, there's a lot of people who want to talk to you, course, you know, so let's see what we've got on the lines. You just never know, Pamela.
This is true.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, this is Marie in Sunnyvale. Pamela, I've been listening to the show. I did not hear your original interview with Art Bell.
We're on a whole lot more stations now, so a lot of people would not have heard that first interview.
Okay, well, I'm with KSFO, so I think it's been on for a while. But at any rate, I heard what you said about it being a tantric experience, and I have a question for you. Was there more than one experience with your reptilian lover, in a tantric way? And did your energetic experience of him, since you don't have a name for him, did your energetic experience of him draw him towards you when you would think of him energetically? You know, I have felt his presence many, many times. And as a matter of fact, it's interesting because Barbara Lamb shared with me, and this was afterwards, and I'm sure she won't mind me telling you that.
Barbara is the one who regressed her.
Yeah, this woman is so incredible. Mm-hmm. She is a shining beacon in this field of research.
So what did she say?
She actually, in a conscious state, met a reptilian that came into her living room and shook her hand and disappeared. Now, this is a woman who's very well respected. She's credentialed.
This is the full extent of that relationship, though, is a handshake.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, what she did.
All right, now you're not answering the caller's question, Pamela.
Pardon?
You're not answering the caller's question.
The question was that I had two other experiences, I think I mentioned, with the reptilian, and it was extremely sensual, organic, but yes, it was aggressive. But that's the only thing I can describe it as.
Organic, sensual, and aggressive.
So I have a question beyond that then. You mentioned earlier in your conversation with Art Bell this evening that when you became aggressive, the entity disappeared.
Scared him away.
So did you need to remain in a yin receptive state where he was dominant to you in order to experience the sensual gratification or the sensual experience that you had with him?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Uh-huh.
I think that it had nothing to do with sustaining a sensuality, but I think what really is the key here and what I've found is a way to in some way control the interactions, and that is to present yourself as an equal.
Absolutely.
In the interaction.
That's totally tantric.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the thing is, I didn't even put it together as that, but I realized that I've been able to control and stop my interactions by getting out of fear, presenting myself as an equal, not a victim, and really seeing that being through loving eyes, connecting with them.
Okay.
I mean, it's
like, you're not going to rape me, we're going to rape each other.
No, it's not about
rape.
We're going to connect because I recognize the divinity in you.
Right.
Well,
okay.
It wasn't rape. I guess it's not fair to call it rape, but it was.
Men have a different vocabulary.
Yeah.
Right, but I would like to interject here. So therefore, this was a spiritual as well as a sensual or sexual experience for you in terms of an orgasmic, blissful state.
Absolutely.
That was
could not have participated in that way if it hadn't had that connection.
Right. Conjugation was a God experience in the body.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
And remember, it's our prejudice that has demonized the very presence of reptilians.
Interesting you should say demon on part of the born agains. I've got to ask you, you know, because they will, I guarantee someone on one of these lines is going to come at you like this.
The ones that I got the most threats from.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you realize that you had sex with a demon?
Well, that's what I got a lot. And again, I believe that, it's a prejudice because I don't believe in the devil or in Satan. I think Satanists are just bad Catholics, you know. And, you know, I believe in the good and the evil in men's hearts.
All right, this is a J-Core test. Wild card line, you're on the air with Pamela. Hello.
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 Oh, wow, this is me, huh?
Only you know that for sure, maybe your hairdresser.
This is unreal.
Where are you?
I'm in Tennessee. This is Jim. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, Jim.
I'm also a first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
This is a very interesting...
Yes, it is.
...subject. I don't even know where to start asking questions.
I didn't either. It just sort of rolls on. I mean, you must have something.
Well, she says that she feels like it was a spiritual connection.
Yep.
That she had this...
Yeah, but all women say that.
Yeah. That's true.
All women want that.
They all want that.
That's right.
And that's how he was able to connect with her mentally, because
right.
they do all want that.
Right.
And I feel like that's why she was able to be comfortable like she was with the situation.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if this spiritual connection was not like it here is here on Earth many times, one-sided. In other words, Monica Lewinsky may have thought she had some great spiritual connection with Bill.
But you know what? Really, does it matter? Does any perception matter but your own?
Well, that's right. That really is true. In other words, you perceived it as a wonderful emotional experience, whether or not the green guy.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, we can never experience how much someone loves us. All we can experience is how much we really love ourselves. And that's all we can project, is how much we love ourselves. We can only have our own experience of love. We can have something reflected back to us, but it's like a big circle. It goes to them, but back to us, but it's still coming from us.
There you are, caller.
I'd like to know how long she thinks it'll be before books come out. I'd like to read her book, definitely.
You would.
I definitely believe that she has an encounter with something.
Oh.
No doubt in my mind.
Well, thank you.
There's a lot of people having these same encounters, and I'm glad that she come out of the closet with it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I just finished the proposal. I've got the first three chapters and the introduction in the hands of an agent in New York as we speak, and hopefully I'll be able to get an advance and finish it.
You mentioned, Pamela, I presume that you could then afford to quit your job and pay full-time attention to your book.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'd really love to do.
All right, look, you said that he, when you look at his mouth, it's that you would compare it to like a crocodile mouth.
Well,
right?
More crocodile than human,
anything.
But still.
All right, what about the tongue?
I really am not aware of a tongue.
But lizards
have
tongues.
Yeah, I guess so, but
forked. I believe big forked tongues.
We did not kiss.
No kissing.
The only thing that the entity did was he did lean down by my neck, and that's the only.
Did he chew on your neck or
no?
Give you a reptilian hickey?
No, it was simply that he was in that area.
All right, east of the Rockies. You're on the air with Pamela. Hello.
Yes. Is this me?
Yes, you. Where are you?
Williamston, South Carolina.
All right.
Very small town. I have a question after. I just want to say that our small town, we had in our small local newspaper, you know, a lady who said that she saw a reptilian creature enter her house, and he was more or less just observing.
In South Carolina?
Yes, sir. It wasn't. I've never heard. I turned into the radio station tonight and heard this, and I hadn't heard anything about it, you know, since. I hadn't heard anything about it anywhere else. I thought it was just, you know.
Oh, no, look, we're used to this. We opened the lines. Last time we did it a year ago, we got the same kind of thing. Pamela, there's another reptilian sighting for you.
I know. Well, and that's why it's really important for someone to be talking about this, because I know the answers are out there if we're all brave enough to come forward and talk about it. Maybe
I
we
think
can get together.
I think it's important to even ask Pamela how many women are involved with reptilians, or for that matter, how many men involved with reptilian females.
Well, that's why I'm out here, because I got letters from both men and women.
Hundreds of letters?
I got hundreds of letters.
That's really frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
Not to mention the emails I got. I mean, they are so stunning, I had to do a chapter. I could do a whole book on what happened after your show.
Yeah.
I could probably do a sequel with what's going to happen after this show.
Probably. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela. Hello.
Me?
You.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is Bart from Utah.
Yes, sir.
Also a first-time caller. I'm glad to finally get through. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, this is also a test for all my Utah affiliates.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, please continue. I'm a verbal advocate for your show. It's not very well known here, actually. So, but anyway, I'm just finding it very hard to believe. I'm not really. I shouldn't. Finding the state of sexism and whatnot today,
mm-hmm.
but it, for me, quite honestly, it's really not that hard for me to understand. Listening to her story and where she's at, she spent obviously a lot of time reflecting on whether it be mystical things or whatnot. And I just myself returned from a year traveling abroad, India and Asia, and for somebody that's actually doing enough soul-searching reflection. She's made some good comments. I've heard her talk about reflecting.
But this is not like an Indian or Asian girl, sir.
Well, no. I'm not assuming that. But
if you go up there and you have you seen the photograph of?
No, I haven't.
Well, you've got to visualize.
Like rendering.
I'm sorry.
Visualizing it. Yeah. I think you may have made it a lure to Worf of Star Trek.
I don't even know.
Worf.
I just don't watch
it's
TV
Worf.
Anymore. I've got the real thing, you know.
It's Worf.
And another comment, actually, I'm completely heterosexual and quite active at that, but I recently had a girlfriend that was quite aggressive and liked to bite, and she referred to it as Klingon sex.
Klingon sex, that's what I was after.
She must be another reptilian queen.
I'm going to ask her what she thinks.
Well, Robert Morningsky thinks that the reptilian queens from Lemuria are back.
Oh, okay.
In this incarnation, so.
So before you really speak up, sir, you would have to see him and then translate in your mind to a female version of him.
Well, I was in my mind, and then the image itself, I think, is not important because I agree with. I don't think that's the point. I think most men are missing the point that they have this completely sexual, tactile, visual image.
Thank you.
And they're really locked in a very very.
Yeah,
male,
that's me.
Dominant
That's
perspective
me.
Of
That's
sex
me.
And relationships.
I admit it.
That it's based on completely like physical pleasure.
So in other words, you understand all of this. But
there are some evolved men out there that have actually done
evolved.
Some work on themselves,
thank you.
And I'm thrilled.
Well, and actually, another point I was going to say, I'm also very good close friends with a woman. Well, I won't. Okay, I won't move on.
Well,
that.
No, that's but, all right. But, look, there was a physical aspect to this, sir.
Excuse me?
You can't escape that. There was a physical aspect to this.
Sure. And I don't deny, I think the reason, and I want to ask you this question before I
very quickly.
Respond to that. I forgot it now.
I think I know why you're a very active heterosexual man. You sound fabulous.
Why is that?
He actually sounds like one that would understand, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he does.
All right.
Encouraging.
Oh, yeah, well. We're at the top of the hour. Hold on. My guest is Pamela from the high desert, which will answer once we hear the question. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Pretty woman, talk a while. Pretty woman, give your smile to me.
Come here, Pamela. Come here.
Pretty woman, yeah.
Shoot. Morning, everybody. Pamela is my guest. She'll be back in a moment. Pamela.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You know, in Area 51, the alien interview, they showed this creature like a typical, you know, the large,
right,
yeah. Large eyes and the very small mouth and not like your guy at all.
Well, I saw the grays as well, and I can tell you that video looks very real to me. I haven't seen the whole video. I just saw the snips. In fact, I would love a copy of that. I'll make you a trade. I'll burn you a CD for a copy of that.
Of the Alien 51.
I'd love to see that.
Area 51B. All right. I think we can work something out.
Cool. Now listen, you owe me for making me divulge. You know you do. I've got a piece of a song. I know it's not going to be great quality, but I have it queued up on my CD, and I want to play it.
It's
yeah, 20 seconds.
Pamela, all right, 20 seconds.
Paul, I've got an alien this time.
I've got an alien?
Yeah, you're going to love it.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Let her rip.
Listen up.
What the hell?
Not like anyone I know.
Man, it's a blues. Pamela, that's,
It rocks.
I almost thought first it sounded like the blues, you know?
It rocks.
But it's just like you were screaming that out.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's like you can feel what you must have felt.
Yeah.
All right, here's a fact. It says, congratulations to your guest, Pamela. If all of us on Earth could see that as a universe, we're all one, then we'd all be much better off. Unfortunately, with the simple prejudices we have here,
mm-hmm.
we can expect humans to accept. How can we expect humans to accept any other species? That's from Wendy. It's from Wendy.
It's true, isn't it? Well, I always say that, you know, planet Earth is kind of like the rednecks of the galaxy. You know, we just have, we're like bad children that are getting out of the playpen, you know?
Mm.
And I think that's probably why we've seen so much extraterrestrial intervention over the past 50 years. Because we are literally getting out of the cosmic playpen, and it won't be tolerated. You know, we're going to the bathroom in our backyard, you know.
Oh, on that note, I forgot to play a commercial. Hold on a second. We'll be right back. What image comes to mind when I say Valentine's Day? Hearts, flowers, angels, cupids? Well, how about a perfect rose dipped in 24-karat gold? That's right. Now we're approaching February 14th. The American Gold Rose Company's back with their popular collection. First, their classic rose, priced at just $49.95, 11 inches long, and it comes in a beautiful gift box. Then, the Hollywood Elite, for just $65, you can send that special someone a long-stem gold rose 17 inches long, delivered right to their door in a gold presentation box. Or, you can order the original rose, simple, no leaves, $39.95, all three perfect for Valentine's, but there's more. If you buy any two gold roses now, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold on a gold-plated chain. It's a $23 value. The American Gold Rose Company. Call them now at 1-800-458-7134. Live in Alaska, Hawaii, or Canada, call 918-687-0404. Again, that nationwide number, 1-800-458-7134. Check them out on the Internet at www.americangoldrose.com. Go ahead, treat your Valentine. All right, Valentine. Hey, Pamela, your guy didn't sound anything like this, did he?
I don't know. I can barely hear you over the helicopter activity.
You're telling me there's helicopters coming over you now?
Oh, yeah. I had a helicopter incident outside my bedroom window, and I haven't.
You mean they actually dropped down like blue thunder and they were looking in your window?
Well, that's another thing that's going to be in the book, some things that went on with that. I started an activist group about a year ago when I realized what was going on. And I had a meeting over here and a girlfriend was here.
Yeah.
She showed up early and she said, "What is that sound?" And I said, "It's outside my bedroom window. Come and take a look."
And there it was.
Yeah, one of those big ones with the double numbers just hovering.
You're kidding.
Oh, no. And I've had...
Could you see anybody in the cockpit?
I've had nights when I had headaches so badly, just at the drop of a hat, I would get one, and I couldn't sleep all night. I was just...
Too many times, apparently, when he was there.
Generally, when he was there, yeah.
Oh really? And you didn't say, "Sorry, I've got a headache."
Oh, no, not him. I'm sorry. No, I'm talking about the helicopter.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what that connection is.
They give you a headache every time. First time caller line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
You say there's this, all this mind control projects, these 147, if I remember you correctly, that the government's had.
Right.
That we know about, yeah.
Oh, that we know about.
Right.
Well, I think you underestimate man, because if there are these shapeshifters, as you claim, I'll tell you something. I would think they could be able to program neurology and actually manufacture these, quote, aliens or shapeshifters as military servicemen.
Oh, I see. In other words, that these are actually military guys posing as reptilian creatures.
Well, that's very possible. And like I say, I think it's all of the above. I think that,
maybe it was some macho marine.
I think the military may have cloned individuals. I mean, I can only imagine the genetic experimentation that we are doing right now.
That's almost unimaginable. I know we're doing it. We've been doing it for years.
4 years.
You just know that's true. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Thank you, Art, for taking my call.
It sounds like you're calling from the bottom of a barrel.
I'm trying to disguise my voice so that other people, friends that may be listening, won't recognize.
There's no reason to do that kind of thing. Pamela's out here up front with her voice, and you're doing this?
Okay.
All right, that's better.
Okay. But no names or
no names.
Areas.
Okay. No names.
You've got 45 seconds before they triangulate. Go ahead.
First of all, well, I don't mind about the military. They'll find out anything they want to find out, and that's okay. But first of all, let me call attention to 1 Kings 3:3 through 12.
Here we go.
As my giving glory to the Lord for giving me the strength to make this call in the first place. My wife and I, we've been together for 13 years. We have a 5-year-old daughter, and she's just lovely, and she had a 14-year-old son. He's 14 now. Our entire time together has been one big alien extravaganza. We've witnessed UFOs together. I've videotaped them. I'd never send them out anywhere, though, because they're...
Come on, we got to get to the bottom line.
The question is...
Yes, the question.
The question is... I forgot.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. Just deal with the experiences. Just know what's happening and stay open. That's all you need to do. And don't judge. Don't criticize.
What he was trying to say, he's got a human wife. He's got a human child. And he forgot his question.
Well, maybe his daughter's having experiences. I remember the last time that I was working, very high-profile celebrity assisting, after I had done your show, everyone was laughing and talking behind my back. And one guy walked up to me, and he said, I have something to talk to you about. He said, I have a daughter who's 6 years old. And she's been telling me about her nightmares with these beings. She saw one on TV, and he said, I don't know what to tell her. He said, I know everyone's laughing at you, but I really need to ask you some things. And I told him how to handle the situation. And for all the people that laughed at me, there was that one person that I helped. The guy was almost in tears.
Yeah.
So I know that, whatever. You've got to walk beyond the criticism and the ridicule if you want to get to the heart of the gray matter,
The heart of the gray matter. You could probably avoid that phrase. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I have a question for
Pam. All right.
Pam.
Where are you?
San Antonio.
All right.
The question is, she had mentioned earlier that she had had some experience with astral projecting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The question is, did you meet with this being on a different plane?
On the astral plane,
or did he really walk into your living room?
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting because the entity was in my bedroom, and like I said, I've been through some really amazing experiences and some terrifying experiences.
Physically in your bedroom.
Well, that's my perception.
Okay.
And I can only tell you that when I astral projected, I came back with no symptoms of anything having gone on. And I believe that, I went to places where people were half human and half animal, and they tore at my flesh, and I woke up in my bed, and nothing was wrong. But I have awakened with physical symptoms from my gray abductions and from the reptilian abduction. So all I can tell you is, when I met my 4 daughters, I came back into my bed. That night, I was so freaked out, I couldn't go back to sleep. That night, I noticed that my lower arms were really sore. And I remembered
my little girls grabbing my arms and holding on to me for dear life, and I had bruises between my wrist and my elbow the next night on my arms.
What about him? Did he bruise you?
I've had some bruises. I don't know exactly if they were induced in that manner. I tell you, I was pretty out of it at that point, dealing with the experiences, and I didn't do the body checks that I do now. Mm. I mean, I've noticed new little scoop marks, and I think I mentioned to you earlier that I think the hybridization process is finally a success.
I all right, ma'am. Anything else?
Heck.
So much more.
So there's so many questions. Do you think that, you know, because of your astral projecting history, that it kind of taps you into a different...
I absolutely do. I think that's why I woke up to them, because I had been... I'm a real fearless soul. I will do just about anything.
Obviously.
And in another way, I'm a sensationalist, so... Whatever comes my way, I will try to deal with it and be an equal to that experience. And, that's just something that I've been taught through my...
All right, but I think it's important that everybody understand that your astral projection and your physical encounter are two entirely different things.
Well, now, I believe that there are many instances that I am on an astral plane dealing with certain incidents that I have, but I think it's all of the above. I can't pigeonhole these experiences. I can't put them all in one little neat corner and say that's what they all are. It's really difficult to research and figure this stuff out because you're dealing with an interdimensional being. That's them. We're multidimensional beings. We don't even know what we're capable of. We don't know where we go at night.
Now, if you were the mother to four gray children,
right,
did you bear any children for the reptilian?
I was afraid you would ask that.
Oh, there is a good answer to it then.
Yeah, I don't know if I should go into it.
They could be coming up my
driveway right now with a crown of thorns, you know.
No, you should absolutely go into it. I mean,
will you tell me one of your scary episodes?
How, Pamela, can it be any worse than having grays, than having, I mean, if there was a sexual coupling that involves, there could be, I mean, it's an important thing to understand whether a reproduction can occur between different races of beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the grays are, they may have just done some sort of artificial insemination, but this is an entirely different matter.
I suspect, because I had a false pregnancy last November, and it was the first time that I had the other false pregnancies 10 years ago, and I didn't think anything of them because I thought I was doing too many drugs, and I just sloughed it all off. But this time, I was consciously aware of my experiences.
You were doing drugs?
Oh, long ago.
Okay, not connected with...
I don't do anything. For a long time, I haven't done anything. I can't afford to do that now because I need every bit of center and composure to deal with what I deal with.
These beings were not supplying you with drugs, were they?
Not that I know of. But I think maybe, I don't know for sure. I had a false pregnancy, and I questioned it in a session that I did, and it seems that is a possibility. I don't know for sure. Some of the stuff I may never know for sure.
Let me tell you something. I'm being communicated right now with a guy from Romania,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And he has a son who will come on the radio if I let him, and swear that he met another boy who, when undressed, had a tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, ma'am, I've had a tail.
We've seen that many times, like in the Inquirer and things like that. You know, when I did your show last time, I got an email from a woman in Brazil who's a head of a UFO research group there,
yeah.
And she was totally fascinated because she said that there are so many reports of reptilian interactions in Brazil. I mean, that's one of the things I'd like to do with the advance of my book is possibly go there and interview with her, because I know there are accounts outside of the United States where people aren't so afraid to talk about this, you know, where sensuality is celebrated and sexuality is celebrated and not manipulated and repressed as it is in our society.
We are a very Victorian society, aren't we?
We really are.
And I guess the thing with the president?
Well, the thing is, I think it's kind of sad that it takes something like Monica to bring him down when there are so many other issues that
Pamela, you know, Monica is not bringing him down.
Well, he's bringing himself down.
Well, that may or may not be. His popularity ratings have never been higher.
You don't really believe the media and the polls, do you? When a third of the black budget is spent on media control?
Oh, how do you know
$23 million dollars.
Where's my part?
CIA abuses.
Where's my part?
I know, where's mine? Where are my tax dollars going?
I'm not sure I believe that. I'm now a big part of the media. And I'm not...
But you're one of the bastions of freedom and freedom of speech.
Yeah, that's true.
You really are a beacon, and you tackle subjects that no one will touch.
Oh, that's for sure.
You know,
I mean, how many other networks have it...
Call us toll-free at 1-800-618-8255.
Oh, but, you know, it's funny. I won't go into this heavily, but I started this activist group that I'm working on a case that's very volatile.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really wanted to be on your show, and I understand that you need to put on what you want to put on. And I said to the people that I'm dealing with, I said, look, you have to understand.
You mean
there's only one show across this country that will put me on. Those 200 shows that will handle that story wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole.
A 10-foot pole. All right, Pamela, hold on. On that note, we'll go to the bottom of the hour. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Pamela is my guest. If you have a question, that's what the telephone's for. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
I'd be the one. Pamela's my guest right now. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. And we're sort of letting it all hang out tonight. We'll hold on to Pamela for another 25 minutes or so and see what information we can glean. Additional information about the secret love life of Pamela. Okay, it's back to Pamela. Pamela, a fax here. Do you know the real reason alien guys like our women? Have you ever heard of the movie Earth Girls Are Easy?
I've heard of it, yes. I haven't seen it.
I wonder if that might really be true. In other words, if there is an entire galaxy full of various beings, dimensional beings, beings from elsewhere, that on a scale of 1 to 10, Earth Girls probably are easier than Alpha Centauri chicks
maybe
or something.
Maybe we're just fabulous.
Maybe that's it, indeed.
Earth men are easier than Earth women, to tell you the truth.
No comment. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela. Hello.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
This is Mike from Atlanta. How are you doing?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been abducted. I talked to Art Bell last night. from Atlanta. I don't know if he remembers or not.
He remembers.
Okay. I've had, since I talked to you last night, I've had a lot of revelations, or whatever you call, of what happened to me. And
You began to remember is what happened.
I began to remember, see, because I started having these experiences when I was about 3 or 4 years old.
Hopefully not with anything, I guess I shouldn't say that. I mean, did you have experiences like Pamela's?
Yes.
Reptilians.
Right, and they also...
No, not right. With grays or...
Or reptilians.
Yeah.
Well, with grays and tall beings.
Yeah.
Very, very tall.
See, like, we have to understand there are so many species. I mean, we have to get over this, the grays, and that's it, you know? I mean, even Robert O'Dean says that there are 17 species that the government knows about.
That's a fact. He does. He does. So, you're right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you this morning, sir?
Well, all right.
That's good. Morning, Pamela. How are you today?
Hi, fine, thank you.
I just wanted to, I know you don't like scripture, Art, but I'm a Christian. And
it's not that I don't like scripture, it's just that I figure scripture is for Sunday, you know? And
gotcha. But what I thought I'd mention real quick is, like, I mean, I'm a Christian, and I'd like to speak up for all the true Christians that, you know, I'd like to apologize on behalf, because, like, I mean, anyone that calls themselves a Christian and goes around threatening people, Pamela, isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing anyway.
And she said, and judging.
I agree.
And judging. No, that's totally incorrect, and that's not right. And on behalf of all true Christians, I'd like to, you know, apologize for that.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, no problem. I mean, that's what it's about.
My brothers and sisters just don't know any better, and that's okay. We're all heading to the same place. It's just a matter of how we get there, how much elegance we have.
I wonder about that. Are we headed to the same place?
Yeah, I think so. I just think it's going to take a few people longer. I always say that abductees get on a bullet train to consciousness, you know. Because
but aren't you afraid you're going to get to the pearly gates and the old bearded guy, you know, is going to look at you and say, "You did what?"
You know, I don't believe in that punishing and rewarding God, you know. I believe that the consciousness, the creator, is so much bigger than all that. Sherry Steiger said it. No one has the patent on God.
Well, you really do listen, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Yes, Art, I'm on.
Yes.
This is Bill from Vista, California.
Hi, listen Bill.
To you Kogo.
Kogo, of
San
course.
Diego.
Yes, sir.
And my question for Pam is, I had a really scary, similar experience, I think, and with all these things, morphine and different things, some from a little silver ball in size until things like about 2 feet tall and 3 feet tall, and then these six-footers that had a skin that would be like a reptile, but actually closer looking would be more like a weave and like a shirt, a bodysuit, suit-like, and that the eyes kind of looked like they were just kind of pasted on, like a reptile or cat eyes just kind of pasted on the outside of that. And
does
he think of anything along those lines?
Well, I've seen many renderings, and I've seen many renderings of, like, Men in Black and all kinds of weird beings that are possibly cloned, possibly extraterrestrial in nature, that the government may even be in contact with and using, and it's so amazing, really, when you start to research this field. It's so wide open that to sit there and box things up is impossible. Everyone has their own experiences, and we really owe it to each other to get this stuff out and try to put the puzzle together.
Well,
I wish you'd write to me and
you've got an email address too, don't you?
I do have an email as well. And can I give out the other address?
Yeah, yeah. But give the email first. What is the email?
It's galactic, GALACTIC, right. _.
Yeah.
It's the little _. Diva, DIVA.
DIVA.
@ TELUS, TELIS. org. And I believe that the email address is also on your webpage.
Okay, that's galactic_diva, D-I-V-A, @ TELUS, TELIS.org.
Right.
All right, now, the address, your actual address.
You want to give it or shall I?
It's MSM. showing you here I pay attention.
You do.
MSM 171 Pier Avenue. That's P-I-E-R Avenue, number 395 in Santa Monica, California, where all these kinds of things happen. Zip code 90405.
Got it.
Now, is that attention or what?
You're good.
Thank you.
Well, your index finger is also turned into a pen, right?
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Well, hi. Thank you for accepting my phone call.
Sure.
I have a two-part question, Art. I ask that you bear with me here.
All right.
Pamela, I'm a little, even talking about it, I get chills down my spine.
I know the feelings.
There was one, where do I start?
I don't know.
When I was 15, 16 years old, somewhere around there, I fondled around with astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
And, heck, I didn't know any better. And then one night, I thought it was all in my head. A dark-haired guy, I mean, really clean-cut, dressed. And like I said, this is going to sound crazy, but he came up in my mind or whatever and said, "What do you think you're doing?" And then I got this fear, tremendous fear. There was this, it almost looked like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but 6 feet tall.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
And
it's the same kind of sort of teeth feature, too.
In other words, kind of a reptile.
Yeah, the eyes were, I mean, when I opened my eyes, my room was spinning and the thing was still there for at least a second or two.
Well, see, now, look, that can happen. In other words, if you go flitting about in that state, you are liable to meet creatures. In other words, Pamela, isn't it entirely possible that in an out-of-body experience, you could meet a creature that then you could have a later physical encounter with in the real world?
I think so. I think that our physical reality is extremely tenuous. I think we could turn our head and look into an alternate parallel reality. I mean, that's how electric and awesome this experience of life is when you tap into the multidimensional being that you are. You know, I think Stephen Bassett said it, that once abductees have walked past this physical domain into a post-paradigm world where nothing looks the same.
I just can't believe how you're able to quote my guests.
Well,
you really must be a solid listener.
Well, I'm just a really solid researcher. I really need to find out the answers to this stuff.
I understand. All right, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela. Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, where are you?
I'm from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Okay.
The only question I have is, is there any concrete proof of what she's saying is true?
It's a damn good question, actually, Pamela. You have a drawing up there for us, a rendering of what he looked like. Beyond that,
well, again,
has he ever given you any little reptilian trinket?
Well, you know, that's not the level that we're dealing with, Art. And,
well,
you know, John Mack makes this really clear.
But it is
like
a fair question.
The things that the hardware hounds need to prove this, they will never have. A saucer could land in their backyard, they'd still tear it apart trying to find out if it's real.
But look last night at Dr. Lear with physical evidence of implantation, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Well, so, I think that's a great area of research.
It is. But, I mean, it's a fair question then that somebody would ask you for physical proof of such a story.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, I can't give them any physical proof. When
right.
I had the false pregnancy,
right.
I tried to get a sonogram, but the night before I went, I had an experience, and I hemorrhaged for 8 days.
Oh, God.
So I don't know what to tell you except that I've done my best to try to get that physical evidence.
Suppose you'd have had that sonogram, and it would have turned out to be a picture of some sort of...
Well, would we even know? Because our embryos look like... a pig embryo, a reptile embryo, they all look similar at that point anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like I say, you know, abductees have their own proof, you know. I mean, I've never seen a flying saucer in the sky. I've been aboard a spacecraft, but I've never seen the hardware.
I understand. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela.
Hi, Pamela and Art.
Hi.
Okay, this is the first time I called, but I got a real... I have an interesting question.
All right.
The video that she made, is there, like, the alien and stuff in it?
I don't think she made... Did you make a video?
Well, I did the regression
yeah.
video.
Okay,
and I've done a couple videos on the hybrids and stuff like that. With
so in other words, are the graphic details in the video of the regression?
The only graphic details are the things that I talked about. Yeah.
Okay.
Because this night I saw on my rounds, because I'm a security guard at this one place, somebody was watching a video. I don't know if it was a tape, but it was on a TV screen, a large TV screen. He got really paranoid when I walked in on him. And it was of a female, dark-haired female, with a reptilian who was green.
Now, was a film that a friend of yours had?
No, as I said, I'm a security guard. I was checking doors, opening this door, and there's a guy sitting there with a remote control in his hand. He saw me and freaked.
And he was watching a video of it.
I looked at the TV screen that he was watching, and there's a woman laying on bed who had dark hair, a dark kind of like a...
That's not Pamela.
Could be a B-movie, you know? I mean, there have been...
Well, I know, it seemed kind of freaky because it's like at 9 o'clock this night.
Okay, well, you can rest assured that's not Pamela.
No.
She doesn't have dark hair.
No, bleach blonde.
Yep, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela. Hi.
Hey, Art, I was cut off a second ago.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what you were saying.
I was Mike from Atlanta, and I was cut off.
No, Mike, we finished that conversation, but I thank you. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Hi, my name is Javier from Porterville.
Porterville, yes, sir.
You might know me. I sent you an email from Santa Cruz. I had a UFO experience back in 72.
Do you have a question for Pamela?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's regarding the sex with the UFOs.
Sex with UFOs.
Oh, well, something like that.
No, not even something like that. Well, this is a reptilian creature. Now, it might have been from a UFO, but that's like saying you have sex with a Buick or something because somebody's driving a Buick. Come on.
Okay. Well, it was an entity that was in the room, but before that, actually, I do remember being abducted. In fact, if I can go a little further past, I had, for some reason, had an astonishing feeling to dig a hole, a round hole, in the woods where I used to live at. Back in Bettendorf, Iowa.
Dug a hole.
Yeah, a hole. It had to be a certain diameter and depth. And it took me a while, and for some reason, I felt like there was a deadline.
Well, there's a hollow earth story and idea that's very hot.
Maybe they were trying to get them to dig down to that or something.
You never know. But I know all the caves are off limits. It's a felony now to walk into any cave.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Why would it be a felony?
I always tell you about these laws. Remember the extraterrestrial exposure law?
Yeah, of course. I know about that. But yeah. But what do you mean it's against the law to walk into a cave?
Supposedly, and I'm sure one of your listeners knows the details on this, but I think, I don't know how many years ago, it's now off limits and a felony to enter any cave.
I find that hard to believe.
And, you know, Indians have talked about the lizard people for many generations.
That's true. That is true. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Pamela.
Oh, hello, Pamela. Your description of the reptilian made me think of the biblical Adam and Eve, where Eve got knowledge of good and evil.
Well, you know, I have my own theory on Adam and Eve and the fall and the serpent. I really think that the Anunnaki came down to this planet and interbred possibly with the apes, and that was really our fall from grace. That was the temptation. That was the knowledge that we got of who we really are. And I think that all of biblical history really needs to be redefined and reexamined.
I'll tell you something, Pamela. There's a lot of people out there who are going to think that you bred with a devil, and that you produced Nephilim. You produced these half...
I think we all did, you know, and I think that we've been in contact with these species.
I think we may even
be an experiment.
But biblically, there was a big flood to rid the earth of these one time before.
Well, but they say that reptilians were found on the ark.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to...
You know, there's another book called The Lost Stories of the Bible. You know, we have to remember that was sanitized and sanctioned before it was written, too.
Yeah. caller, anything else?
No, probably wait for your book to come out.
Well, thank you.
All right, I'm really surprised and pleased that you are writing a book. I think it's great.
Well, thanks. Well, hopefully you'll do a little acknowledgement or something.
Sure.
Of course, I have to run the chapter by you for your approval anyway.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Pamela. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to give glory to God and His Holy Spirit for touching the lives of Christians out there who listen to your show. And also, I have a question for Pamela.
Yes.
What gives these entities, or whatever they are, the right to interfere with people's lives?
Again, interfere.
You know, people who are going through their life, you know.
Again, interfere.
My husband doesn't think I'm having an affair.
How
but
do you...
they seem to they make him think. Because of weird, extraordinary circumstances. I didn't always believe it, but...
wait a minute.
Well,
wait, everybody, hold it for a second. Hold it. Caller, your husband thinks you're having an affair?
Yeah, and I would not, you know, I would not.
Well, I understand
even
that,
look at another man.
Well, maybe you should play this tape for him, then.
What tape?
The one you're making right now.
Right now?
Yeah, on the air.
So why does
he... You wouldn't lie to Art Bell. He obviously doesn't believe you.
Why does he think
no,
this?
No.
Why?
The extraordinary circumstances in my life, you know, like things happening at a certain time.
Like
so you think that, you're
you
having
know,
interaction?
That I may be leaving.
Like what?
You know?
Do you think you're having interaction?
Stop. Like what? She's asking the right question. Are you having an interaction with another being?
I don't know. I have had, you know, dreams, you know, I remember from my childhood, but any interaction that I'm having right now, other than seeing UFOs in the sky...
That doesn't constitute an affair.
No, I don't think it does either. But other than UFOs in the sky, I don't remember anything except for weird events going around, and I can't possibly explain them.
Well, you must have told him something to make him think that.
Oh, no.
Nothing at all?
No.
So he's just plucking this right out of the air, thin air.
I guess so.
Well, I guess, listen to Leo Biscaglia and Carolyn Mace, and maybe that'll help you a bit. They're really incredibly self-empowering people.
Hmm. Maybe time for one more. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Pamela.
Hello.
Where are you?
Hi, this is Rich in Bloomington, Minnesota.
All right.
And you think there's any truth in what Jim Morrison said about being the Lizard King?
Ooh, I didn't even know he said that.
You know, maybe he kind of came here all confused and twisted when he reincarnated or something.
Well, I think we all come here pretty twisted and confused.
Right.
But we're waking up to who we are.
Right. And I'm just calling to support you. I mean, you're really nice lady. And if I wasn't in love with this other woman, I'd definitely like to date you. But
well, maybe next lifetime.
Okay.
You mean you could get past the whole lizard thing, no problem?
Well, I believe what she's saying about all of above. I believe in a lot of the Eastern philosophy that life is illusion and, you know, you look, if you put it under a microscope, you can see through things. You know?
Yeah, we're all just, it's a big cosmic soup, isn't it?
Right.
All right. Well, you know, there you go. I would say on balance, Pamela, about like 80 or 90% support for you on the phones.
I know. Well, you know, it's amazing. You and I can never have a short conversation, can we?
No. Well, I don't have short conversations with anybody, Pamela.
Well, thank you for indulging me with my music.
It has been a pleasure to have you on. Boy, I tell you really belted that thing out.
Well, I'm going to send you a CD. You need some new bumper music, although I love the stuff you play. Your wife has great taste in music, by the way.
Yeah, I know she does. Oh, you like the bitch song?
Oh, I love it.
All right. Well, hey, Pamela, what a pleasure.
Yes, as always, Art. And thank you for all the work you do.
Okay.
And all the fearless researchers out there.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
That's it. This is Coast to Coast AM. We will be right back.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you played pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been.